Blog Talk Radio.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here, you can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way.
Hi, everybody, and it's Tuesday, March 11th. Good morning, good afternoon, depending on where you are. And had a great night last night. It was totally fabulous with another show. And so here we are. Okay, so today's show is The Brilliance of Your Uniform. And, of course, most of this stuff is sort of rhetorical, but listen, you're wearing a uniform every single day. You're wearing a uniform with the people that are in your life. You have a certain demeanor that you put on when you go to see mom and dad or maybe your old Aunt Harriet or something like that. But you do know that it sort of sets up your frame of mind. I hope that you understand that. For instance, there's a lot of studies that talk about what you're wearing, dress for success, how that helps you academically. Well, there's a lot of stuff. Okay. And it all is important. It all does matter. But how you are, what uniform you wear to do the things that you're choosing to do in life is very important. And I think a lot of us don't really think about that. For instance, I'm in the profession of psychology. I'm studying to be in the profession of psychology. And there's a lot of things that I used to do that were more psychology related with the volunteer work I did. I used to work at Crisis Clinic in Seattle, and so I assisted a lot of people who had chronic mental health issues as well as people who had incredibly scary, crazy, or strange incidences. It, just whatever the crisis might be, they would call in. And I would be doing sort of pseudo-counseling. I say pseudo because I wasn't accredited at that time for anything like that. But what I want to say is this. When I go hang out with my friends that are crazy and wild and hilarious and just anything goes, I have a different uniform that's within my own brain, regardless of what I'm wearing. I mean, I know they talk about wearing dressing for success, and yes, I could put on a three-piece suit. But when I was hanging around with my friends that were just wild and crazy, the three-piece suit didn't get around what was going on in my mind. The uniform in my mind was still a bit of a party girl. It's kind of funny. It's almost the first time that I even have associated that word with who I am. But just probably party girl isn't the best one for me because I'm just strange about that, but I was just wild. I was funny and wild with my friends, and they were funny and wild in their own way. We all had our own way of doing that. And it was our own way. So when I talk about your mindset, I know, for instance, myself, there were some friends that I just couldn't use that uniform on. There were some friends that were more introspective. When we got together, it was pretty much about spiritual issues and human rights. And although we enjoyed ourselves, the fun was just a different way of fun. And the uniform I wore then in my mind was subdued, and I couldn't say that it was less fun than when I was being with my more wilder friends. It was all, both situations were, well, let's see. I apologize for my silences and that sort of staccato way of talking. It's because I am always searching for the right word, because words are so important to me. But they were both uplifting to me in their own way. But if I had gone to my friends who were wanting to be wild and hoop and holler and just do anything crazy silly, and I had the mindset of sort of spiritual enlivenment for my other friend, it would have not been so fun. And my friends pretty much expected me to be wearing the correct suit to achieve what we wanted to do for whichever of those instances. What does that mean to you? What does it really mean to anybody? I believe the best way I can say this is, whatever uniform that you're wearing, make sure that it's working for the life you're choosing to live. If you're wearing the kind of uniform in your mind where you just want to be a professional person, you want to just further your career, all you care about is making the boss happy, everything that you think about is getting numbers up or getting stats, then you may not be meeting the needs of, say, your family. I mean, I know a lot of people say, well, if my family's helped or they're gaining something from me by working all the time, I would suggest to you that that may not possibly be always the case. I mean, you got to take the uniform off sometime if you want to be a well-rounded human being. And maybe that's not important to you. In which case, make sure that the uniform that's going on in your head is communicated to people outside of you, because they might actually believe that you're only just working because you have to work. They may not realize that you actually want your whole life to be about your job. So aligning the uniform that's in your head with where you want to be can also help put you on the path that you're seeking. If you're wearing a uniform, the business one, and that's, you know, what's always in your head, and you really just want to spend more time with your family, maybe you just want to do enough to make sure that there's enough money, whatever, so that everybody in the household can be sustained, but you really want to be home when your child goes to sleep, or you want to be with your wife as much as you can while she's carrying your baby, or maybe you'd rather be at home cooking dinner and with your sweetheart and possibly listening to his ideas for his startup business or something. If you're wearing a uniform that is inconsistent with where you're hoping to be, can you just possibly see how that may put artificial obstacles in your path? And I say artificial because the obstacles are being put there by you. They're not necessarily real bumps in the road. They're ones that you've developed from the inconsistency of it. So, for instance, myself, I started graduating. I use myself for an example, folks, because, well, I'm the only one here right now. And so if you call in at 646-727-2914. We can certainly talk about how this applies to you or talk about your experiences. I would love to do that. But for now, I'm going to go with the people that are in the room. So for my experiences going into psychology, slowly but surely I have been learning more and more about what things need to be in place so that I can be accepted in my profession in a way that's, you know, gives me some kind of credibility other than, you know, the many thousands and thousands of other psychologists that emerge from universities all around the world. So what makes me different? What makes me a psychologist? These are all things that I have to consider and I need to work on if I'm going to fulfill those shoes that I want to wear. And listen, your uniform does not have to be laid out the way everyone else says it has to be laid out. As long as the uniform in your mind is matching, then it's going to exude out in the rest of your life. I don't know if you all remember that movie. It was called Patch Adams, and it was about the doctor who used humor in the hospital, and he'd wear clown noses and things like that, and he was always really jovial, and he felt that humor could heal people just as fast, if not faster, than medicine. And so he took his uniform and he tailored it to his personality and his belief system. As a psychologist and in school, they're constantly telling you to dress business casual. And I always think to myself, what the heck does that mean, business casual? That sort of, in my mind, because of my, as my friends call me, anarchistic manner, it makes me think of high-top tennis shoes, jeans, a men's jacket, and a turtleneck. And that's the way I think about how I will likely be dressing as a psychologist. Now, if you think that I'm not going to be a good counselor for you because my tennis shoes are high-top Converse or something like that, then, you know, guess it's best for you to go see somebody who has a suit, and maybe you can believe in the suit instead of their abilities. So for me, how I dress, as long as my mind is in the right uniform, that's all that matters. Because I believe that for me, the profession, the skills that I have, that's going to be there no matter what. But the other aspect of my getting my uniform straight is I study from home. I do my schoolwork from here. And it's very easy to be extremely casual. And I'm enjoying it while I can, because it's going to become a time when it's not as easy. But it's one of those things that it's really big for people who either work out of home, they, you know, do their school out of home. Most of us can be more comfortable unless we use our home as an office where people come in to get their services. Everything says dress better than what you would think you need to dress. So instead of running around in jammy jams, I guess I should have my Converse on and my jacket and my turtleneck. I have a turtleneck on and the slacks, and most of the time I don't have my tennis shoes on. But, all I'm trying to say, and it probably doesn't really take a whole hour for it, and we might cut the show short just a little bit. We'll just see how things go. But all I'm trying to say is this. If your mind has the uniform correct, then whatever it is that you've got on is going to either help or hurt you, because you're either going to have a disconnect between what's in your mind and what you're wearing, or the people that encounter you, they're not going to feel it. They're not going to feel that professionalism if your mindset isn't uniformed correct either for what you're trying to do. How many times have you gone to a doctor and he's wearing the coat? He's wearing the white coat. You think he's a doctor. This guy knows everything because he's a doctor. And then when the doctor starts interacting with you, they barely look at you. They barely talk to you. You've got issues, but you almost feel like you're being told, I don't want to know about your issues. I don't want to talk about your issues. Let me just hurry up and get you in and out of my office so I can get back to either playing golf in his real office or talking to the sweet cheeks around the corner or his stock market, I don't know, or so he can head off for a golf game with somebody that might help his career as to move up in administration or something. I'm sure that most of us have encountered something like that. It doesn't have to be a doctor. It could be, my girl's getting ready to get in on the show. There goes Pepper. So thanks, Pepper. And so when you get that feeling, the person who's on the other, who's wearing the white coat, or maybe you're getting a ticket from a police officer and he barely listens to you, he's not really paying attention to you, he doesn't even care about the stop. He's just going through perfunctory motions. In those situations, basically, that person isn't lining up with the outer uniform. So I say your outer uniform, is it important? It helps to align your mindset if your mindset is going that direction. If your mindset is not, it doesn't really affect it. For instance, one of the studies that I looked at came from the New York Times. And this article was by Sandra Blakely. And this was an article dated back in April 2nd, 2012. And the title of the article is Mind Games. Sometimes a white coat isn't just a white coat. And basically in the article, the study that was performed found by Dr. Adam D. Galinsky. He's from the Kellogg School of Management at Northwestern University. I believe that's in Chicago. Basically, what he was saying that the white coat, okay, there's two main professions they were talking about. One is the white coat that the doctors wear. The other one is the white coat that a painter might wear. And so what they said is if they put the white coat on students and they did testing on them and the students related to the white coat being a doctor, then their test scores went up. And their attention to detail, it's almost like their brain opened up for what they expected to be doing, the seriousness of being a doctor. But when the students were asked to put on a white coat with respect to a painter, the scores actually went down. So basically, if your uniform isn't matching up to your mindset, it could actually take your mindset down or it could take your mindset up. But if I suggest that if your mindset is somewhere already solidified as to what it is you're doing, your mind is already wearing the uniform that you are choosing to wear, where you're choosing to go, who you're choosing to be, then it's going to be a lot harder than some clothes to take it out or to lead where you're going. Let your mind do the leading and not your clothes. But you still have to deal with the fact that other people kind of look at those clothes and, you know, they make judgments or determinations. It doesn't matter. It seems to me that, you know, if you just get your mind together. So I'm wearing the uniform of a psychologist. The other thing that comes with my profession is people expect people in this profession to write journal articles, to perform research and then write up conclusions and documentations. There's the dissertation process. There's the master's thesis process. One of the things that you must get used to if you're going to be in this field is writing. And if you don't like to write, it might be a bit difficult, and probably it's going to be easier to be involved in a more allied profession instead of being a psychologist or a clinical psychologist. So I had to write, and I've been trying to get myself to do this, Yes, I've written poems. I've written short stories. I've written a whole bunch of stuff, prose. And in college, I've written a whole lot of research papers and discussions and essays and things like that. But I was still not in the mindset of publishing, which psychologists publish. That's what they do. They publish articles. But that just seemed like this really far-off, distant goal. One to achieve that's just beyond my capabilities is the way I was thinking. And recently I did publish a book. It was a book of poems, but the point is I published. And there was a huge shift in what was going on in my mind. And I can see how the uniform that I was wearing before that happened has completely changed. The mystery of publishing is gone. Whatever happens with the book, whether it bombs or it sells, that's just not as important as having my mind line up with where I'm headed. So now when I think about publishing a journal article and publishing my dissertation, it's not a question of whether I can do this. According to the uniform in my mind, it is that I am doing this. This is just part of my profession, and it's part of who I am. So if you can put some little things in there to help line your mind up with the way that you're dressing, then I think it's going to help change your life exponentially. If you're working in an office and you're tired of working in an office, and quite honestly, you just want to move to some little farm somewhere in California or the Midwest or somewhere back east where you get a lot of snow, and well, I know they have farms down there. If that's what you're hoping to do, then it's time to change up the uniform in your mind. And once you do that, you're going to find that a lot of the obstacles are going to fall away, and you're going to actually start moving towards the path of your little farm. And I don't think it's going to ruin someone's life to change their profession. I think it's far more injurious to actually stay somewhere you don't want to be or you don't feel you belong. Something to consider no matter where you are in your life. And it just seems to me that the universe meets us when we line things up in our head first. Just everything just lines up to meet us. The book publishing, I was trying to figure out how much it was going to cost me. It didn't cost me anything to get published. But I'm published. So I don't just have a master's degree, and I'm not just seeking a PhD. Now I'm a published author. So when I do publish anything post next year, then it'll be published under Dr. Barry or my pseudonym or something like that. But it's all coming in together because of the uniform I'm wearing up there, which is psychologist. My mom, she would tell me things about my dogs. They do all these things that just sort of feel like they're manipulating me. And my mom would say, well, you're the psychologist. You know, you should be able to figure this out. And I'm thinking, yeah, but I'm a psychologist student for human beings. I don't know. My dogs sort of have they sort of have one up on me because they know, they watch me a lot. I watch them, but not as much as they watch me. So I think they sort of have me figured out just a little bit better than I have them figured out. They're holding the reins, in other words. So anyway, some information that might help you as far as applying to your brain. It on top of the just the psychological aspect of it, of you know having your mind in uniform, one of the articles I was talking about, I was reading, was talking about why you should dress up, even if you're somebody who telecommutes or you're in school online and you generally don't have to leave the house. They're suggesting that the uniform, if you dress up more instead of just hanging out in your jammy jams all day, that it makes you feel good and it increases your productivity. And they also like to say that it establishes the routine, this whole dress for success. I say, yeah, dress for success, but first I say dress your mind up first. So these are some benefits to think about. And when I look at that, I think about somebody who still hasn't found their profession because they're almost afraid to accept that the uniform they're wearing in their head isn't matching up to either the income that they think they have to have or possibly the environment, possibly where they live. Maybe you live in the desert, but you've always wanted to be a marine biologist. I say start matching up that uniform in your brain because that's going to drive you to where you want to go. And maybe you can get a lot of learning in the desert, but then eventually you're going to end up somewhere near a coastal town, somewhere working on marine biology. So see where it's going to take you. Look where it's going to take you when you choose to just go ahead and fit that uniform in your head. Let's see, the other things that were, that Dr. Galinsky was talking about when it came to the uniforms and how your mindset drives you. He was saying that he loved the idea of trying to figure out why, when we put on certain clothes, we might readily take on a certain role and how that might affect our basic abilities. Because the study that they did doesn't really explain all that, but I think that from a spiritual point of view, I think that most of us sort of understand that. We may ignore it because it doesn't necessarily seem like it's going to help the situation. If you've been working at a job for, say, 20 years and you're making a really good income, it's really difficult for most people to turn away from that and start their own job, maybe growing bonsai trees or something like that. But our jobs are not just about money. Our jobs can also feed our soul. And our jobs also can contribute and hopefully does to the betterment of all people on this earth. So being where you really don't feel is your space or where you're most comfortable or where you're most productive based on your enjoying what you're doing, in my opinion, that, as I said earlier, I think that's where the biggest harm comes in, trying to match up something that doesn't work for you. So I believe that I've just about covered almost everything there is to do about the uniform. If we'd had more people to talk, then I probably would have had a little bit longer of a show. I know it seems like it's a short show, folks, but I do have a whole lot of other things to do, and I know the show is going to be for an hour, but I'm going to go ahead, cut the show just a little bit short. I really wanted to just get that out there. Match your uniform up with your brain. Get your uniform and your brain matched up with where you want to go. And as far as dressing for success, the success comes in with you getting to where you want to be. Okay, now see, somebody would call just as I'm getting ready. Okay, hold on just a second, folks. We'll see if somebody even wants to talk. Hello. You're on.
Good afternoon, Brenda.
Oh, is it afternoon?
Of course,
okay.
I want to talk.
Oh, okay. ladies and gentlemen,
I always want to talk to you.
This is my co-host Nina, who spearheading this show LNB Passage to Empowerment that we do on Monday nights at 8 p.m. Hello, Nina.
Hi. I just wanted to let you know that there are people listening. I know for a fact that Holly is listening in right now.
You
have a chat room. You have no chat room set up, so, yeah, we couldn't let you know otherwise. So, yeah, I just
sorry.
Wanted to let you know
yeah,
that we
I
were...
Really...
I know, your chat room challenge.
None of this is rehearsed. This is just me and my weird way of doing things, so... And being a firstborner, Nina, she's really good at, you know, correcting me.
Well, I'm not
she's
correcting
my
you.
Sister, but man, does she have to be my big sister all the time? Okay, and we have another caller. Boy, you guys come out of the woodwork just as I'm getting ready to try to play hooky. I just don't understand it.
Good
Hello,
morning.
Ma'am.
Hi, Brenda. How are you? Hi, Nina.
Hi.
Hi, Lennis.
This is Lennis.
hi. See, now my boss is calling in to try to see. I almost got out scot-free.
well, I just figured you needed us today, so I thought, you know, we might as well just gang up on you and not let you get off the air early because we enjoy listening to you.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and I was listening to the show. I was in a meeting, but I could hear it. So you're doing a good job, and thank you, Nina, for calling in. I wanted to call in, too, and talk about the uniform, you know, which you were discussing. Very good show, Brenda, because it's true. People, they go by how you look, how you dress sometime, which is a judgmental thing instead of just accepting. But I was just reading your preface, too, to the show. So, yeah, I believe that. Because being retired now, I did have to dress a certain way for certain meetings or things I had to attend. And certain clothes does kind of parlay into who you are, you know, but not always because, God, there's times when I'm sure all of us have probably ran to the store or whatever and had on a junky sweatshirt or some old jeans, you know, somebody's house, they were like, oh, you know, maybe whatever, but that doesn't necessarily constitute that that's who you are.
Well, I certainly hope not, because I'm dressed like that every day of the week because it's comfortable when I have to get on the floor with the kids.
Ah, well, see, there you go. So you're dressing for success.
I am,
yes.
Because, you know, really, the kids don't care what I have on to begin with as long as I'm there to play with them.
Yep.
Yeah. So, well, the thing is, it's in your mind, I believe. First, it starts there. You know,
oh, for
that.
Sure. You have to have the mindset of where you want to be, where you want to go, and go from there.
Sure, absolutely. So, yeah, I just it's a bit of a small concept. It probably doesn't take a whole hour for it. It's just I can only sort of say it so many times unless I'm going to do like that priest who came in and he lectured every day, every Sunday in the pulpit, the same thing. And finally, after about a month of that, one of the parishioners said, you know, Father, you've been saying the same sermon all month. And he said, well, yeah, and I'm going to keep saying it until you get it. It sinks in, which is kind of funny for a priest to do that, but I'm sure it's been done. I, on the other hand, I sort of like things to sort of like, let me put it out there. You take it. You gnaw on it. Chew on it. See if it's really what you want to ingest. And then, you know, let it fall where it's going to fall. I'm not real good at the hammering. I do come from a different point of view, though. Basically, yeah. What I'm saying to you all is the same things that I've been saying to you since I started this show. And this is all about your brilliance, and it's all about fostering it. It's all about retrieving it wherever it is you've hidden it, or somebody has led you to believe it's gone. It's not gone. It's there. And figure out where it is that you want to go. Figure out what it is that you always thought you were good at, or you always wanted to be good at, and then let that drive you. You know, put that uniform on in your head, and then explore the journey that is really probably the best journey for you. Don't let the money, don't let the time, don't let somebody else determine that for you. I started out in clinical psychology, and the reason I started out that way is because my best pal, he believed that it was the best profession for the profession strategically and all that. And I thought, well, yeah, I don't want to do clinical research all the time in some hospital. But I went ahead with what he said because I figured he might know better. But it became real obvious as I was in school that it just wasn't my cup of tea. Although I will work with people eventually, and I will probably do research, it's not the biggest part of what I want to do with this profession. And we have another phone caller. Boy, you all are something else. I've tried to get on chat. Sorry, folks. But it's not coming up for me. It might be because I have eight million windows open.
Hello?
Yes? Hello.
Hi.
Lydia.
Hi. Yeah.
Hi, Lydia.
Hi.
Hi, Lydia.
Hi, Lannis.
So, like I said, I've tried to get on chat, folks. I'm sorry. It's just not opening up for me. So.
Oh, that's okay. You just got us all live. Still good.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, and that, well, basically I gave you all that there is to the show. That's it.
Listen, you knucklehead.
Really? I missed it.
Oh.
So say it all over again.
No, I don't think so. But I don't, it just, you know, it's just the concept of, you know, putting the uniform on in your head first and then letting that decide what uniform you put on the outside. And then that drives you.
Oh.
It's sort of like if your mind's not in the game, it just doesn't really matter, right? The Seahawks had this thing that they said that they always did hit before they would leave their locker room, and Coach Carroll would say something like, are you in it? You're either in it to win it or you're not in it. Something like that. But
yeah, I mean,
in other words, your mind has to be engaged. So
yeah, it does.
Right. But there is documentation to tell us that what we wear can direct our mind. But if you put a lab coat on and you put on the coat to be a doctor, but really your mindset is to be a farmer somewhere, now you're going to set up the artificial obstacles that cause the bumps in your road. And guess what that does? That slows everything down. It makes it really hard to navigate.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, you got to be who you are. You know, I mean, if your mom wants you to be a doctor, but you really want to be a farmer, but you're going through the motions, it's not going to turn out well.
Yeah,
I have a question to you. I have a question, Brenda. What about people that don't have the proper clothes to wear, but they're trying to get somewhere? What do you tell them?
You mean people who don't have, for instance, women, single mothers who have just gotten some training to go into clerical work, but they don't have the funding to get the clothing, you mean? Or did you mean?
Well, I mean, like, well, say for instance, if somebody had been out of work for quite a while, so they may not have the attire that would be needed for the interview, but bless their heart, they got a shirt or a blouse and a pair of slacks. But they don't feel good within themselves that this is all that they have, but they feel good enough to go for this interview or whatever that needs to be accomplished. What do you tell those people? Don't worry about the clothes that you wear because it's within your heart or your mind what you're going after.
Listen, if you three were the panel and I was coming in to interview for a job as your counselor and I walked in there and I had some Crocs on and I had just a sweater and possibly a pair of jeans, the first things you're probably going to be thinking is, she must not want this job. But because the uniform is in my head and it's before I even put it on, I would sit down and I would be telling you a story that would have you so enwrapped as to why I didn't have everything that by the end of the interview, you'd be thinking about taking your jackets off and maybe putting some jeans on. I would tell you straight out, I know that I look like I just got out of the bus station, but have I got a story for you? And I would tell you a story. And by the time the whole interview would be over, I may not get the job, but I doubt that they'd be thinking that I wasn't prepared for it.
Exactly. So, and that's a good point, Brenda.
Yeah.
Very good point. Your mind, let your mind be your guide, basically, and if you don't have the money, tell them.
Yes.
Tell them you don't have money for the clothing.
Mm-hmm.
They're people, too.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, there's no shame in your truth. There is no shame
exactly,
in
yeah.
your truth. I am not an overly religious person, but I got some holy underwear that would take me straight to Jesus. I'm telling you, I got them. and that's okay with me. That's okay with me. They work. I'm not like a lot of men. I know some of you wives out there thinking, my husband is wearing shards. I don't even think there's holes. You can't put holes in it. They're just strings. Because, I don't know, men have this thing about they're my most comfortable underwear, and I want to wear them for the next 50 years. But it's what I got. It doesn't bother me. I wouldn't take them out on a date unless I was, was it first date? Because, that's one of those tricks that I use. You're not going to sleep with them with those holy underwear on. So it's like, I don't care how great and attractive I am to him. It's like when he puts his hand on my shoulder, it's like, I got to go. I'm not going to pull those holy underwear off in a date situation. But for the rest of my life, I'll just be praying that, Lord, I don't have an accident. My mom won't be on the news saying, I told her never to leave the house in those kind of underwear. So.
Now, that's a good point. We're taught young, aren't we, how to dress?
Yes, we are.
Or supposedly, right, for church or going to grandma's or just your girlfriends getting together.
Right. They may
so
be,
it begins.
Although I don't think young people are getting it. I'm sure they were told, but I don't think that young people, it's not, it just depends who they are, but. I've had a shop and had many applicants come in, and the first thing I thought was they don't really want the job, but some of them I overlooked it because of their story, quote unquote, and then I told them, well, there is a certain dress code. I'm not real strict about it. This is Boulder after all, but you have to look clean and presentable.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I worked at the Alexis Hotel in Seattle. It's a 4-star hotel, just 1 star off. Might be 5 now, but But it's a real European little hotel. It's really quaint, adorable, and high class. So I worked full-time at, well, basically it was Bank of America during the day. And so the only time I had was at night, and I worked there at night. And they hired me knowing that I was full-time somewhere else, and I was working at another job. So I was working two jobs when they hired me. So I couldn't ever get in to get a fitting. They would actually make your uniform. I couldn't get in to get a fitting. So everybody was in this blue suit with a white shirt sort of thing. But I had to go into work with my suit from the bank. And so they didn't want me, you know, coming as I was, then I guess they shouldn't have hired me so that I had to go straight to them before, you know, time. So my point is this, you don't know what that does. You know, if you're coming in, like Lydia's talking about these young men dressed a certain way, you don't know what that can do. There's so, you don't really know where it's going. You may have a pause. You might be a little bit unsure. I went to this hotel because I stayed with the same suit so that I wasn't constantly changing. And it was a tweed suit. And everybody thought I was running that hotel. It was bizarre. Mm. And yeah. I worked there for over a year and never got in to get my suit because they sort of started leaning on the fact that I had this authoritative demeanor at night. And, you know, I was tired, so I wasn't always pleasant. So to me, it's like what's on the outside, I know that there's all the dress for success. Listen, if your mind's not in the game and you're dressed in Armani to the hilt, it's still going to come out. Everybody around you is going to feel that energy. You're not going to be able to fake it completely.
I have a question for Nina. Nina said that when you stand in your own truth, it's no shame. Okay, I'm going back to what Lydia said about young folks. If I'm on a panel and these young people, they don't have to be real young because there's people in their 30s, come in with tattoos all around their neck, piercings every hole except the one that you use. Do you think that I'm – now, they're standing in their truth, who they are. Do you think that truth affects them?
I don't
– oh, Nina, go ahead.
Do you think their truth affects them? To some people, maybe. I guess you have to look past, just like you'd have to look past the tattered clothing, right? Some people don't like tattoos and definitely don't like piercings and, you know, all over their bodies. But that, again, is their truth at the moment. I'm not going to say it's going to be their truth when they're 50 years old. But for right now, that's their truth. So you have
but that's
to
what
learn.
I'm saying.
Yes.
You're saying there's no shame to it, but their truth affects them in everyday life. Because as people that there's a lot of children out here now that could be getting hired, or young people, I'll say young adults, but they're not because of the tattoos and the piercings. You know, an employee looks at that and like, no, I'm not hiring you. Number one, how can you cover your neck? Now, some people that have tattoos on their arm, I know a couple of people who work at Starbucks, they have to wear long shirts. It is not accepted for that to be shown.
And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I guess right now, people are just using tattoos and piercings constantly. It's a thing for the younger generation now, and some of the older generation too. I'm not going to say just leave it on the young people's, but I think us not accepting
Stop.
These tattoos again is a form of prejudice.
I agree, Nina. Thank you.
I work with a lot in Boulder. If you didn't accept tattoo and piercings, and you had a business, you probably wouldn't have many workers. It's very prolific here, and I look past it. I find them quite interesting and beautiful. So it doesn't really affect me. I look for the person. Now, if the person is filled with shame about either their appearance, or they're angry, or they're whatever, they probably wouldn't get the job anyway. But I have met many people that I absolutely love that are tatted up and pierced, and I, you know, it's like I love them. I just love them, and they are amazing, amazing workers, amazing people, and that's just what they've chosen. But they, but their head was in the game. Their head
yes,
was in
their
the
head
game.
Has to be in the game. Yeah, and my own granddaughter has got 3 tattoos right now. None of them are ugly or in your face or anything.
Visible.
But every tattoo she's got means something to her.
They all mean something to the people. They
exactly.
all mean something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what
well,
I found out.
No, not all of them. Some do put tattoos on their bodies just to put tattoos on their bodies and to cover their bodies. The majority, yes. Every tattoo means something. Like Cassandra's got one down her side. And it's got Jim's and my name on it because she said we have done the most for her in her life and have led her on a path that is true to her. Mm-hmm. So she has done that for us. Now, if you don't think that was a touching moment, very painful for her to get that tattoo to begin with, and it's not a small one. It's a large one. It goes completely down her ribs.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd make a point to ask people about their tattoos because being an artist, I find them very interesting and a form of art. And I ask, and I've never heard, well, I just got it because I like it. I never heard that, but I'm not saying that's not true. I mean, they all have a story. So it might be this generation, especially this generation's expression of their stories. They might not want
there
to.
There you go.
They might not want to put
there
pen to
go.
Paper, but they do want to tell their story. I mean,
I agree.
You know, seriously, I go to rock concerts and I'll see somebody tatted up to the hilt, and I'll say, "Whoa, that is so cool! What? Why?" And they'll talk to me. It's very cool.
Yeah, I've done that too, Lydia, because I find the art very beautiful, and some of it is quite interesting. I'm like you; I ask. If they don't mind, can I see the, you know, the tattoo? So, but you're right.
Well,
in this generation right now, I am concerned because Brenda shows about the uniform that you wear. Mm-hmm. And,
well,
and
in your head.
I don't know if tatting is a fad or what, you know, but some of it, yeah, it's beautiful when it's not seen. You know what I'm saying? Like, does it have to be seen? Around the neck, I don't get. The face, I don't get. All the piercings. Go ahead.
Well, can I say something? Listen,
yeah.
You know, the Maori, you know, natives in New Zealand, it's wherever, and it's seen as beautiful and important. And, you know, one thing that I would say to an employer who's just like, oh, just represent our company. Okay, so would you rather have somebody who is looks the part but doesn't have the insides? They don't have the brain to do it? Or would you prefer to have somebody who can actually do something for your company? So if you prefer empty uniforms that aren't, you know, matched up with what's in their head, then that's only going to hurt your company. In other words, the prejudicial thought process, that discriminatory thought process, it might even be the youth way of throwing back in the face these older generations, their prejudice against other races and against specific genders, because they're actually connecting with that. If I have tattoos everywhere you can see it and you discriminate against me, how am I different than the slaves in Africa, in America, at the beginning of our country? How am I different from the way Native Americans are being ostracized in this country? You know, how am I different from any of those situations? And I'm proving to you that there's something skewed in your head about what really matters.
Yeah.
What really matters? And it's for the person getting the tattoos, they're saying, who I am matter in my head. matters more than the way I look. And I dare say most of them are trying to get people to understand that.
Very good. I love it.
I agree. I really do. I feel that it is a way of, I think it is a rebelliousness against what we've left them. You know, we have left kids in a terrible shape, and they're rebelling about it. You know, they are definitely rebelling about it, and they're not gonna. They don't like our world. They don't like our world and what we've done to them. And some of them are that same way, and they're not going to follow the corporate path.
And that again is their choice.
Exactly, and their expression. And I don't really see them bemoaning the fact they can't get a job because of their tats.
No, they just go somewhere else.
Yeah, they find a place where they, you know, there's, you know, first of all, Boulder is, I think, very accepting of, you know, youth, and we have a college here, a big university here, and I think that it is more accepting. I mean, I've seen it evolving to where you had to hide your tats to where it's like, it's okay. And some, like, where I worked at Celestial Seasonings, we walked through the factory and you couldn't have earrings on, and so they'd have to take their piercings out too. So someone heavily pierced wouldn't go for the job, but we did have people with tats and piercings. They just had to take the piercings out when they walked through the factory. So, and they gave tours, so they were walking through the factory a lot. So a lot of them just didn't wear their piercings when they were working.
And that was for health reasons, though, wasn't it?
It was for safety reasons. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, but I really see it. I see it evolving. And you know, like Brenda's trying to make the point, I think, is that it's the uniform's in your head. It's in your head. It's like, you know, it's not what you're wearing. And my mom used to say something to me. She completely wise soul, but. I mean, I'd lament because I had a pimple on my forehead. And, of course, I always got the biggest pimple on my forehead right before there was a dance or I was going out with a group of people or something. And I'd be lamenting that fact. And she would say, if you smile, they're not going to see it.
Aww.
And she's absolutely right. If you smile, people aren't looking for the flaws in your face. They're seeing your beautiful soul shine.
Right,
I love
your
mom,
head uniform was like, I'm going to go have a good time no matter what.
I get over it. You know, I've always known truth when I've heard it. And when my mom said it to me, even though it was my mom and I didn't want to buy it, I was just like, yeah, and I'd smile. And no one said, look at that big old honking pimple on your face. They were all, you know, they just loved me. So it was like, it was part of loving myself. And that pimple just magically disappeared.
Well, and I don't know if you all noticed who did listen to the show last night. Our intro music is, and we need to remember to point that out in our show in the future, you know, who it was. The intro music was Video by India Ari, and in that song it talks about that you basically, it, you know, sometimes, you know, I shave my legs, sometimes I don't. You know, it's just whatever it is that I feel like doing, if I feel like homeless. But basically, it doesn't change who she is. It doesn't change the beauty of her. And so as long as your mindset is clothed in the to me, it's really important to understand that has to be set to get you where you really want to go, no matter what you're wearing. Because if what you wear is more important than where your head's at, somewhere you're going to get lost. So anyway, we're at the end of our time, folks, that the extended time after my boss and, you know, the ladies forced me back into work. I just want to say thank you all for calling in to and, you know, making me work. And thank you, Holly, who has checked in, tried to check in with chat, and anyone else who tried, I apologize. So since we're at the end of the show, I just want to point out that there's another show tomorrow, the show with Lennis. I'll go ahead and let you pop that in.
Psychic readings tomorrow at 3 o'clock Pacific time or 6 o'clock East Coast time. And we're just going to do our best and try and answer the questions that people asked of us and hopefully empower them and give them a good positive thinking.
Okay.
So. Yeah, you always do that.
And then on Thursday we'll be looking at Filmcology with the movie Aliens. So, yeah, and the empowerment there comes in with recognizing the gender differences, in my opinion. But we'll discuss that tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Oh, no, not tomorrow. Thursday at 11.
Thursday.
Filmcology. And then on Friday, Lennis has...
Traffic Jam. Friday,
yes.
Music. So when you leave work with a smile, I'm going to try and get you home with love in your heart and a smile through my music.
Yeah, and she does.
And then
yeah.
We round
last
out
week,
the week.
I'll just say a quick snippet. Last week I dedicated the show to our parents and grandparents. So if you happen to go in last Friday and listen to the music, it was very, very nice. And I told people, tell your parents and your grandparents to listen to the show because it'll bring back some amazing memories for them, I'm sure.
Yeah. It's a nice 30 minutes.
Sweet.
And then we end the week with the big love. Lydia.
Yeah, Time to Love on Saturdays at 3 o'clock. Mountain Standard Time, that's 2 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, and you'll figure out the rest. This week we're going to be talking about synchronicity and what is the universe trying to tell you. If you've never experienced it before, I'm saying you probably have, maybe you didn't notice, but yeah, it's those seemingly coincidences that happen. I don't believe in coincidence.
I don't either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we start the week off on Sunday with Lennis and
in the
show.
Studio with Lennis and Sunday show will be about online dating. So please call in and join us if you've experienced it or you know people that have used it. And we're going to discuss about that, online dating compared to physically seeing someone and dating them.
That'll be funny.
Very cool.
I mean, lovely. And... And so, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for signing, checking in or something. And I appreciate it. I'll see you next week.
All about
see
the
you later.
Yeah. BYOC, 11 o'clock. Okay. Good night, everybody. Or good day.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
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 Bye.